Awareness that heals. Essential practices for meeting life's challenges. Introduction. Shortly before my 50th birthday, my world was turned upside down and my identity inside out. An inherited condition had reached a critical point and I had a kidney transplant. For most people, this is normally the great news, but I had major complications from the medications necessary to keep my one kidney alive. For the first time in a life that I'd experienced as fulfilling and fortunate, I became profoundly disoriented. I couldn't access my heart and my normal vital energy. I couldn't even feel the gratitude toward my brother who gave me the kidney, even though I knew it was very much there. Instead of my mostly stable experience of love and gratitude for being alive, I was agitated, exhausted, and empty. I was afraid these losses were permanent. And to some extent, they were. There was no way to anticipate what was to become of me. Up to that point, I had faced and dealt with reasonably well the normal challenges of modern life. I had also been blessed with considerable fulfillment and success. In addition to a wonderful family and good health, I had a flourishing psychotherapy practice in Los Angeles. Over the years, I had developed physical, psychological, and contemplative methods for staying balanced and happy. Not only my own life, but also the lives of hundreds of clients with whom I had worked, seemed to be proof that I had learned what I needed to know. I had been fulfilled with bringing qualities such as love, peace, trust, strength, and compassion into my own life and into the lives of those around me. I had believed that, with good intentions, therapeutic support, and spiritual practice, these qualities were almost guaranteed. But then, that world vanished. I felt profound grief about losing the life that I had had. My core emotional identity seemed to have dissolved. It was as though I had had a heartectomy. I felt as if my heart had been taken away. Who is this person? I would ask myself. What has happened to me? Because of the medications I was taking to prevent my kidney from being rejected, the resulting severe insomnia and exhaustion, and the need for further medications to deal with these side effects, I had little or no control over how I felt. I meditated and prayed, and I used my therapeutic strategies, but I just felt worse than ever. No matter how hard I tried to feel good, I was helpless and unable to get there. The very medications that were enabling me to survive were now undermining my quality of life, and it wasn't good news. The new bottom line was, life was not great and good. In fact, at times, life was hell. What on earth could I do? I was afraid that I would never be able to feel at peace or fulfilled in my heart again. In this book, I share with you 8 practices, most of which were either created or deepened as a result of this medical, personal, and professional crisis. I had the added motivation to develop these practices because my well-being, perhaps even my life, depended on them. I have found that even if we are content in life, there are inevitably at least one or two areas where we have a need to develop ourselves in order to deepen our sense of well-being. And as we do this, we have to learn how to open to our human side, open to what hurts, frightens, or angers us, allowing ourselves to experience our need for support in these moments maximizes our chances for greater peace. I stress the word learn because as my chemical crisis revealed, I wasn't prepared for a challenge at this level. Sharing with others had always been my natural inclination, and that was how I'd always resolved anything that was really disturbing to me. My life had been full of deep and meaningful communication with friends and those I loved, and this had always provided greater acceptance, peace, and intimacy. Now, however, the sharing didn't have the healing effect it had always had. I couldn't feel the heart qualities that I was routinely used to accessing. The loss of this deep source of well-being was devastating. I was facing a completely different kind of challenge where I was chemically imbalanced. No matter how well I communicated or was cared for by others, I was not able to feel anywhere near the sense of well-being that I was used to. After months of anguish, I started to discover new ways to support myself, which eventually evolved into ways to become more at peace with whatever state I was in. It became clear to me then that what I'd learned could be useful to everyone I cared about, and of course, my clients, and hopefully you too. I know from their experience and my own that we can live in a more supportive way no matter how difficult our feelings are if we cultivate these practices. The first is what I call accessing awareness that heals, which is foundational for all the others. The practices are, number one, accessing awareness that heals. Number two, cultivating friendly mind. Number three, moving from self-rejection to self-compassion. Number four, inquiring from the heart. Number five, developing wisdom guidance. Number six, tuning into tone of voice. Number seven, moving from feelings to essential needs. And number eight, transforming anger and resistant emotions into intimacy and strength. These practices will support you to develop self-caring and the capacity to respond in an effective way to life's challenges, especially at times when you are most prone to be critical or to withdraw. This can happen with your willingness to, number one, discover and examine your challenging emotions and life situations. Number two, begin to access a place inside that wants to care for you when you feel the most hopeless. And number three, to develop any of the practices that will best guide you to healing qualities and actions. If you commit to these steps that are so often avoided or unseen, I promise you that your life will be more fulfilling in several specific ways, based not only on my own experience, but also that of scores of friends and clients. Here are some of the key benefits of these practices. You will learn how to combine awareness of your challenges with a core need to move toward healing, so that this awareness that heals becomes a grounded pathway leading towards your sense of well-being. When you reject yourself, subtly or not, this book will provide tools to discover where you usually and unwittingly abandon or criticize yourself. You will also learn strategies that will help you develop self-caring instead of self-rejection. You will learn how to be proficient in asking yourself beneficial questions when you are in great pain and fear. They will help you navigate through these toughest times in your life. You will discover the ways to access and utilize your own wisest inner guidance, especially in times of greatest need. You will become aware of your tone of voice and how it can unwittingly create harm. You will also learn how it can be used as an instrument to bring you much closer to your heart and to express to others the healing that can be conveyed in the tones you discover. You will learn to identify your feelings and your needs and to distinguish between them. You will also learn to make a direct link between your most difficult feelings and your corresponding core needs. Being able to do this will catalyze the greatest healing. You will discover new ways of escaping the trap of repetitive and destructive patterns where you've acted out your anger and aggressive emotion. You'll learn how to pivot from being against someone or something to discovering and being supportive of your underlying needs. Lastly, you will learn a whole new way of using your friendly thoughts to guide you when you see no answers or solutions and feel overcome by your emotions. You will see how your friendly mind can support you no matter what you are facing or feeling. Some helpful hints as you listen. When I use we and talk about our lives and experiences, I am writing about an area where I'm still very much working on myself and growing. When I speak to you or talk about your life, it is because we're dealing with areas or practices that I've mostly integrated into my life, and I feel I have a familiarity with practicing them by now. The we-you distinction is particularly important because there are so many approaches, techniques, and teachings that don't reveal the personal work on the part of the creator. I believe this lack of exposed vulnerability unwittingly reinforces a desire for us to seek the impossible, a complete resolution or answer for ourselves in some of life's greatest challenges. It is a core principle in this book to both guide and model how we can all, including myself, care for the kind of challenges that we have without having to get over them. Here, I'm referring to those elements of life that we can't control, such as the behavior of others, profound loss, or capacities that are limited due to aging. I hope that both the we and the you discussions and all they entail will support you to accept and be kinder toward what you can't change. I ask you to read this book not just as a reader, but also as a participator. Let yourself get personally involved. Just as I have brought my life's challenges to these practices, I am inviting you to bring yours. You will definitely derive the greatest benefit if you identify at least one personal challenge, whether past, present, or anticipated, and bring it to your experience as you read Awareness That Heals. If you follow this suggestion, each practice will make more sense and the experience of reading will be more real and relevant. Your personal involvement enhances the dynamic relationship between the practices and you. To support you, there are reflection points throughout the book that invite you to apply these practices directly to your life. Similarly, at the end of each chapter, I offer you questions to ask yourself so that the practice itself can become more meaningful and benefit your life in practical ways. At the back of the book, you will find a section entitled Introspective Guides. These guides supports seeing our feelings and core needs more clearly. They are all charts, also available for download at www.awarenessthatheals.org, designed for easy consultation at all times. They give key assistance as you read the book and can be used in their own right afterward. This book invites you to read it as both client and therapist, both student and teacher. You will feel supported to find the courage and humility to be emotionally honest with yourself and also be accepting and caring toward what is difficult. At times as a student, you might feel inadequate or frightened, but the teacher in you will be supported to be contemplative and to find your wisest voice to bring you toward healing and well-being. As a client, you might feel overwhelmed or disoriented, but as a counselor, you can comfort and guide yourself with compassion. So now, let's turn to the first practice, which is accessing awareness that heals.